Now, this is Channel One Right, the beginning of a new reel, Lois Dixon. Lois just telephoned and said she'd found some old Macintosh pictures and she wanted to bring them up here and show them to us. After that talk last night, oh, that was remarkable. She brought to life all those neighbors I never thought she'd talk about. And this is Saturday, the 18th of July, 1970. Saturday, the 18th of July, 1970. Channel One Right, the beginning of a new reel. Lois Dixon is coming up to show us some of those pictures of early Macintosh. Saturday, have supper. The 18th of July, 1970. Saturday after supper, the 18th of July, 1970, setting it up for Lois Dixon, a new reel, beginning of a new reel, Channel One Right.
These are historic now.
They really
these
are.
These are historic.
What are you
going to
do with them?
Huh? I'm going to preserve them. I'm going to give them to the museum and get them. The ass fallen.
Well, they ought to be a
no,
way.
No, they're mine now.
Yeah, I know.
Don't take it too seriously.
There ought to be a way of...
and this is Avenue F in Macintosh, the sign says, and I live on Macintosh. Up here's the Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
Right there. And that is a... is McFadden's place. And I live right on down here.
Yeah. What do you know, Lois, about these... Why, say, look at those big trees and
everybody used to have fences.
And yeah, that's all those...
Everybody had a fence.
All those board fence. Now,
uh-huh.
That's not picket fence. That's just an
old board
fence.
And here we had... Now, here's the park. It used to have that kind of fence around it, too.
The park by you?
Uh-huh. That's right down there is my house. You can see it right down there. That's the north side of the park. And right across over here is the Presbyterian Church.
Yeah.
How would you go?
And the park had that board
uh-huh.
fence around
and
there.
That's taken in the park. That's so dark you can't see it very much.
Yeah. That's in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that park's been there a long time, hasn't it?
Yes. It was given to the town by the man who laid out the town, Van Ness.
Yeah.
Van Ness bought the township.
Oh.
And that's called Van Ness Park. And he said, this must be forever a park.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell me it right in your
and
face?
Then is he would sell a lot. Is it sell a lot? You had to sign that you'd build a two-story house with so many thousand square feet.
Oh, really? Oh.
That's why it's been a big old house.
Why, Lord?
You couldn't buy a lot unless you... it was like a restricted subdivision
sure.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Van Ness is from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
A big two-story house with mm-hmm. 2,000.
It was so many. I don't know how many, but it had to be a certain number of square feet.
Yeah.
And that's the road going south.
Oh, now that's a beautiful road. Mm-hmm. That's a dirt road.
And that woman walking down there, I can tell you who she is.
You can.
She's Ross Rath's mother-in-law.
Oh,
you know
right.
Ross Rath at the post office?
Yeah.
But that's his mother-in-law, Mrs. Dedman.
Mrs. Dedman.
She was a Miss Taylor then, and she was teaching school down there.
Well, Lois, this
my
is
teacher.
A, let me tell you, this is a beautiful picture. I
mm-hmm.
think I'll just steal this. I'll just swipe this.
Mm-hmm.
Why, this is as pretty as I ever saw. See, that's beautiful.
Well, now that's the way it used to look. That's where, now it's a four-lane, you know. Now it's four-lane.
Now, you see, it's been graded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got those old board fences with barbed wire at
mm-hmm.
the top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
you see our little signs up on the fence post, Dixie Highway.
Oh.
That's not Dixie Highway.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. That's the main road going south.
And that's Miss Dedman. She's
mm-hmm.
got on that long skirt
mm-hmm.
and narrow waist and a shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shirt waist.
Mm-hmm.
And that little tie in front, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now she got on a big brim hat.
Mm-hmm.
Now you tell
she's nice, yeah. Oh, that's it. Here's a picture of Miss Taylor for you. Somebody sent me their card. Miss Lois Dixon, Macintosh, Florida, and postmark in Macintosh. That doesn't make much sense.
What's it?
But, Auto Road leading south from Macintosh Lot. Auto Road.
Auto Road. Not a buggy road. That is an auto road leading south.
And this is the lot
what's the date
that is now for sale. That crossed from the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
It used to have a fence around. And they used to have a mighty pretty house there. And that's how my mother used to want my father to buy. Oh, she thought that was the nicest house. And she thought she'd be so happy if she could sell that place and then move up there. But before, well, that came about. I don't know whether my father had thought about it.
Is he
but he bought.
Yeah, there he is.
Well,
Lois, he is the most beautiful thing. He's a young one. And he's so clean.
Yeah.
And his color's so fresh. And he just eats all the time. We'll have to cut that vine down.
Well, I'm sorry he ran and got himself hurt.
Oh, no, talking about the bird.
Huh?
Talking about the bird.
No, I don't see it. Oh, now I see your bird. Yeah, now I see your bird. I was trying to see you. I was trying to see you. So you're talking about here. I see the bird, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
You put that phone special?
Huh?
That is Steve's phone you put that on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he'll be back.
That's that lot that now has for sale sign. This whole city block for sale, it says.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Is that somebody coming?
No, it's just somebody out there checking. Sulphur Bath, Macintosh.
Mm-hmm. Now that is just on the right of the highway coming down from the ice plant. Now that's pretty and green. They mow it, but there used to be a pond there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was baptized.
Oh, really?
It looked better than that. I don't remember all that stuff around there.
Is
it used to look
right?
Very nice.
That
and that's where the Baptists used to baptize.
Yeah.
Before we had the Baptist in the church.
And where was it?
Just as you come down the highway south, after you leave the, come down that hill, the ice house, the meat house up there.
Yeah.
Well, over there now, that's pretty green. Looks like a meadow or something over there now. But used to be this pond. Right down the north edge of town.
Yeah.
Right back of that old market and the Gulf Station.
Oh, back of there?
Yeah, along in there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Oh,
you
yes.
You come down the four lane highway, you see it's pretty now. They keep it mowed, it's grassy and green.
Yeah.
And then one time, since my mother's been gone, I came in, they thought I was a Mrs. Dixon. They thought Mrs. Dixon lived there, I guess. This real estate man, Gene Tracy. Well, he's with Ernest Two Realty Company. I never heard of him.
Yeah.
But I found this note in my door. Mrs. Dixon, should you ever consider selling your beautiful property, please allow me to serve you.
Yeah.
All right? And in finding things, now this is called the Hard Road. That's that road going.
That's that same Dixon Highway. Yeah. There's a cow over on the side.
I can't see that postmark. But these are all about 1906 and 7 and 8.
I can't see it either. TR.
Listen, if you have to see somebody.
33.
Huh? If you have to see somebody about business.
I don't have to see anybody.
Now, they call that the sulfur bath, but we all would just call it the pool.
Yeah.
Now, I had hoped to find, I thought I'd look for it while John was there, but I never did have time. But I have somewhere in that house, a beautiful photograph, you might say, of his mother.
John's mother?
When she was young.
Uh-huh.
But I can't put my hands on it today. I'll look for it today. But I couldn't find that. But I found these things. And I found this. Now that's John's mother.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I'm going to show
Ajax. You stay right there.
All right.
Get some friends, and I'll be back.
Oh, that's John's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the basketball team.
Mm-hmm. 1915
team.
Uh-huh.
That's
anybody else?
That's
a
team of
1915. Uh-huh. At Old Columbia College up in Lake City.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Well, what do you know? Now, what's her name?
She was Ora Willingham.
Ora, yes.
Ora Willingham.
Yes, yes.
And you know who that is?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, that's me.
Is that you?
That's me.
Well, let me see that again. Why, Lois, you ever look like that?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's me.
Well, I declare.
And this is that woman, my friend in Jacksonville, who did so much for me, having me overcome my speech difficulty.
Oh, is that the one?
Robert Angus. That's Mr. Robert Angus. Mm-hmm.
Why, this is a historic picture.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get along without that.
Well, and she was the... Harry Bennett was a coach.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something about him. He and his wife was Heavenly Hester girls. The youngest Hester girl.
Yeah.
She met Ida Hester. Mrs. Albert Vidal's sister.
Yeah. Well, let me see, Lois. Let's not go all this too fast. You know, I've been going since 7 o'clock this morning, been doing physical labor, and my mind don't work too it works fairly, but not too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a little sleep. Oh, I was just lighter in the face that you found some pictures. Now,
and it's the,
she's right in her prime here, isn't she?
Oh, yes.
This
oh,
girl,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're just all the same age.
Well, now,
we're just all the same age.
Is she one of the team?
Hmm? Is she one of the team?
Well, you're just all there in a bunch together.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, you don't look like anything is wrong with you there.
Well, my speech.
Well, you don't look like your
you
speech.
Don't look at your face. Now, let's see. She was the, Eunice Dixon was the manager, and the forwards were Catherine Merle, Lois Dixon, and Inez Carlson. She was also the captain.
Yeah.
She was the captain.
Yeah.
And this girl, and this girl were forwards.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was a MacIntosh girl, too. She was a Merle. And her brother, James Merle, lives in McAnulty. He married May Herlong.
Yeah.
One of the Herlong girls.
That's her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, what happened to her,
She's married. She took basic training down in Orlando, and she's married. She lives in Ohio. She lives in Ohio.
Yeah. Now, let's rest just a minute. I want to hear about something. You want some light. Let me see. That'll be all right, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
That top light's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, Lewis. Where is she now?
She's in Ohio now.
Yeah.
This girl lives in Jacksonville. And Ora, she's the one who died in January.
Yes.
He lives in Atlanta, I think, or Washington somewhere. He lives somewhere.
Yeah.
And this girl was from Homestead. This girl is from Arcadia.
Well, now look, she has done a little of everything. She's right enterprising.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you knew her at Columbia College,
mm-hmm.
Now she was...
She was just a student, same as I.
Yes, but she had a hand on...
Oh, my goodness, yes. She was the most dynamic personality on the campus. Her father was a senator. He was also president of board of trustees of the college.
Yeah.
And she was just born smart.
And active.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, you were just lucky to know all of those
mm-hmm.
people, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did she do after that?
Well, she married. She married Robert Angus, an Englishman, civil engineer.
Yeah.
And they lived happily ever after until he died about 16 years ago.
Yeah.
They never had any children.
But she she's, was active all that time.
She's living, but she's not having an active good while now. She's, I'm like I'm mad at her. She never had a stroke or anything like that. But she has enlarged heart. A lot of people have that. But the doctor said from her waist down, her locomotion for years has been like 180. She gets up and walks just like my uncle.
Yeah.
She's had therapy.
Yeah.
And she's kind of giving up. As far as that's concerned, now she sits by her TV, not seeing the role model of mine. She knows politics like,
a
real, oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah. But she just doesn't move around.
Just doesn't move around. And doesn't go out anywhere. I'd go up there and take her out in my car. I'd do anything in the world for her, and I can't get her. I go out there, take her out today, and it takes her tomorrow to get her ready to get in the car.
Yeah.
I'd take her out to the cemetery where Robert's buried. I'd take her to the beauty parlor. She sold the car. When Robert died, she had a new automobile. It had about 3,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
But she let the Robert Angus and Associates, that was his name of his firm,
mm-hmm.
Robert Angus and Associates, use it. They paid her rent, a mileage or something on it. So she wasn't driving then. And then he had the Associates insured for her to get part of the profits for 5 years after his death. But she's long since been through with Robert Angus and Associates.
And he died a long time ago?
About 16 years ago.
And she still lives over in Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
St. Augustine?
Mm-hmm. St. Jacksonville.
They
had a home out in Ortega. But after she lived there for a while. But my, they were such perfectionists about keeping up the place. And she said she just couldn't do it. So she sold it and she moved into an apartment on Park Street.
Yes.
And it doesn't, it's very nice, but it's not the size she's been used to all of her life. And sometimes she gets to her, she said, imagine me living here on Tobacco Row. But the woman who owns the place, it's just a great big home, and the owner is a Mrs. Lanier, a widow. She lives upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a whole downstairs. It's called an apartment. She has 3 bedrooms and a bath and a half.
Mm-hmm.
She just has the whole first floor.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Lanier tells me, she says, I'm sorry about the way Mrs. Angus' apartment looks. And says she may blame me for it, but says she won't let me do it. She don't want to be bothered with the workmen. She said, I'd have paid and fixed it up.
What is the most, what does she do that, you know, like you're talking about the Brown lady, Mrs. Brown, Margaret?
Mm-hmm.
What, Margaret?
Yeah, Margaret Brown, the one out in Oregon.
Yes, Margaret. Now, has she done a lot of innocent things like Margaret?
Yes, mm-hmm. Ness has been on, this woman has been on, she's great to be on boards. She was on the board of the Duval County Hospital. And you appointed to that board, so I don't understand why, but you appointed to that board by the governor.
Oh.
And then she's been on the board of a very refined, elegant old lady's home on Riverside. I said, why don't you admit yourself down there? You're on the board of admission.
Yeah.
Why don't you admit yourself down there? But she wants to live in her home. And her sister, Anne Dunaway, who lived in Miami, her husband, Dr. Dunaway, was an eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist in Miami. They never had any children either. Anne was great for politics. She was great for Red Cross work. And
Her sister.
And the YWCA work. And she's a special friend of the Hollands.
Mm-hmm.
Special. His wife Mary. And when Anne died in Miami, Nez was able to go to the funeral. They brought her up by that to Kissimmee for burial. They were Carsons. And the Carson burying ground, their old home place, was in Kissimmee. And so Nez phoned me about the funeral and everything, the death of the funeral. And she cried. She said she just couldn't even go. Well, I said, Niz, I'll go. I'll go to the funeral. I'll take some pictures. I'll see Carl. The man's name was Carl, husband. And then I'll come and tell you about it. So I went. And there weren't many there because she lived in Miami so long she hadn't been living around Kissimmee.
Yeah.
But they had services in Orlando. I mean, in Miami. Then they came up there and just had a short graveside service. And I was there. I was there before the hearse came up from Miami. I had to find the cemetery. They have two cemeteries in Kissimmee, and I had to find, ask somebody which cemetery the Carson's buried in, because I didn't know the name of it. So I went early to get myself established, and I saw everybody as a king. And some of them I knew. And among the people who came was Spencer and Mary Holland. They flew down from Washington. So they were that good friend.
Well, now, is the Holland...
Now, since that time, the husband has died.
Yeah.
I didn't go to that funeral.
Is the Holland family, have they always been...
The Hollands were from Bartow. They were from Bartow.
Mm-hmm.
And I first met Spencer Holland before he got into big game politics. But we were down there fishing for those tarpon in Boca Grande.
Yeah.
Down there with the Hamiltons from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Spencer Holland and his mother, he wasn't married at that time. He was a brilliant young lawyer, beginning to make a name for himself in Bartow. And he and his mother were down there fishing same time we were. And we met him and we could recognize him. He's very, he has a big bushy head, you know. Head of hair, and he looks just like he always did.
Yeah, and he just retired.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his family wasn't anything particular.
No, I don't think about his family. I said I just met it. I knew his mother down there when he was fishing.
Yeah, he just happened to be.
I don't know who his wife was, her first name is Mary. And I've heard Anne speak of Mary so much, but I never had met Mary Holland until at the funeral.
Well, now, did she have a sort of public life too?
She taught music at home, like I did.
Yeah. Well.
She had this invalid husband.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And they kept him at home.
That's right. So she wasn't able to get out very much.
Well, except the church. Now she always had charge of music at the church. On Sunday she was always there, and to the missionary thing she could. But I mean, to travel and to go around about, she lived quite at home there. Her main interest was in her pupils who came to her house for lessons and for her service at the church. And this church bought and installed and dedicated a set of chimes to her memory on Mother's Day.
Oh, yes.
That's when John wore the red rose in his lapel.
Yes. Now that's because she had served the church
mm-hmm.
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice.
It's pianist and then organ when they got the organ.
Yes.
And I thought that was real sweet of him about the red rose. He wrote it. He's supposed to wear white rose. He loves his mom.
Yeah.
But there they were, that church full of people, and dedicating this thing to his mother on Mother's Day, and there he sat with this pink rosebud.
Yeah.
And they had him stand.
Yeah.
And gave him some recognition. Then he went home that afternoon and took his own picture with his cameras and sent to me. And in the letter he said, "You will notice the red rose of the pink rose in my lapel."
Oh.
Said, "I understand perfectly the significance of different colored flowers on Mother's Day, but to me, my mother still lives
uh-huh.
in my life, in my memory, and I'll never wear a white rose for her."
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Now,
What was there about Columbia College that made people interested?
Well, it was a student body of about 500. It was a Baptist college.
Well, was it that large?
Well, maybe it didn't have about 300.
Well, that's large.
Well, it did have about that many. Maybe not all boarding students. A lot of people came out there from town. And her father was president board of trustees, and when they and he was a man of wealth down in Kissimmee, and he owned the he was president of the bank. He owned the telephone company there. He had a big ranch, one of the first of the cattle ranch. Around Kissimmee River has always been a cattle country.
Yeah.
So Santa Claus had plenty of money. And when they couldn't pay the teachers up there, why, he just sent them a check for whatever they needed to finish out.
Oh, really?
But they kept on until he didn't have the money at his death he's had during his lifetime. He bought bonds for the first paved road that went across the state to Melbourne, from Kissimmee through to Melbourne. Way back then, he bought those bonds, and seemed like they weren't any good, and that's why he suffered great losses.
Well, now that's the trouble, you know. People who do well, they will make some mistakes like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this, to this day, is bitter toward the Baptists. She said the Baptists. Well, she didn't think they mentioned her father enough, or did his memory at the time. He didn't give him enough honor, she didn't think. And she said, Dad just got more of my father's than I've got.
Oh, really?
Well, see, all those checks he paid about the teacher's salary, I think, when he could. Then misfortune overtook him,
yeah.
And his family. He didn't have such an estate to leave when he died.
Yeah.
So this has bittered a little bit toward the bad, because she didn't think they did as much for his memory or appreciated what he had done as much as she thought they ought to.
Do they
feel? People can. Yes, she said so. Oh, she said so, and she said, "Well, I've known him to have write up something about history of the college, and never mentioned his name. And they wanted to name it. He gave so much when the first time they wanted to name it Carson College, because of his donations to begin with. And he wouldn't let them do it because he was in politics. And he said, any man in politics has a lot of enemies, and it might not be too good for the college.
Oh, he really was outstanding then.
Mm-hmm. So he said, he appreciated that honor. He said, it might be better for the college not to be named for me or for any other one person. He said, I suggest you name it Columbia for the county, and give these, let the county have pride in it. So that's how it was having to be named Columbia College for the county, when they would like it to have named it Carson College for him.
Lois, what is that stock farm? Did you ever see those stock farms?
Well, Wood and McRae is bound to be around in here, because the woods are all up in here, and the McRae's too. Now, I don't know where it is.
Yeah. I never even heard of it.
Well, I guess they just had some cattle out there, and they called it a stock farm.
Well, they said
they
were purebred or something.
Yeah, did they say they were purebred?
And mule colts and all.
Yeah.
Now, what McRae would that be?
Well, I know you where the old McRae place is. That's where Robert Williams lives.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's where Robert Williams lives.
Yes. Well, now, was
McRae
that
was, was Francis McRae's father.
I see. That would be his father.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss Anna's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see. Well, they would normally... I've just never heard anyone talk about those stock farms.
Well, they were kind of pioneers, I guess, in growing some of these razorbacks around here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta go. It's getting late.
Well, now that's the end of that little perfunctory session. Jean came to show Linton the colt. They'd eaten at Ruby's, and this is 375. I have it. 375. I have it. On this new reel, Lois Dixon, Channel 1 Right. Channel 1 Right on late Saturday, the 18th of July, 1970. Late Saturday, the 18th of July, 1970. And that's the end of this little perfunctory session. She didn't come to stay long, and then she's interrupted on that stay. Now, this is Monday, the 20th of July. Monday, the 20th of July. She set out the other night, you know, over there so well. And then she followed it up herself, you see, Saturday night. She couldn't come last night, Sunday night. They had the union services at her church with special music. And this is Monday. She's coming for supper. Going to bring some more little pictures. Monday, the 20th of July, 1970. And we'll pick up where we left off.
Are you needed out there?
Did you bring your little book?
Yeah, I brought my little book.
Mm-hmm. I mean your other little book. That's a John's book.
Oh, no, I didn't bring Uncle John's book. No, we got a man at the table here. Oh, well, honey, you have a chicken breast and everything. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing.
Well, I want you to know it's not hot.
Oh, well, I don't care.
We decided we wouldn't have anything
no,
hot.
No.
It's too hot to be hot.
Yeah, it's too hot to be hot. Mm-hmm. Well, you go on a picnic, one of the most choices thing is cold fried chicken.
I know. Well, it's
I want to put this out where I can see it. This is one of the cutest things I ever saw in my life,
see, I didn't get to see this.
Right, yeah. Just look and don't interfere with Lois. See, she's going to eat now if you let her alone. I just look at that.
Isn't Oral pretty? And I have a portrait, a photograph, I call it, of her. That's why I'm in tearing up the house, though, to find it. That's John's mother.
That's Lois right there in the middle.
I look like a sheik.
And that's Miss Carter.
No, I look like a sheik with those eyes. I don't remember
beautiful
I'm looking like that.
Dark brown eyes.
That's the Carter girl. What's her name?
No, that's Miss Angus from Jacksonville. Miss Robert Angus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was the captain.
Was
the captain of the football team.
Her maiden name is Carter.
No, her maiden name is Carson. She was
Carson.
Known as Carson.
Yes,
Carson.
Yes, I started wrong. Yes, right. And you, and who is the forward?
That's Catherine Merle.
Is that Jim Merle's?
Yes, Jim Merle's sister.
Well, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? You know, let me tell you, I didn't meet Jim Merle. Take a bite, and I'll talk about it.
Okay.
I didn't meet Jim Merle until he was in his decline.
But Jim Merle, he was a handsome man in his day.
Well, I could tell he had gifts, and he had that lordly manner.
Yeah, he was
gracious,
nice looking. You see, his sister was a pretty girl, Catherine.
Yes.
She was pretty.
Is he still living? Jim Merle?
I don't know, but if he is, he's in miserable
yeah,
health.
Yeah,
he married May Herlong.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm, they're so good.
And that's Jim Merle's sister's face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that a nice family?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Merles?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell it?
Merle. His father was the depot agent in McIntosh.
That's a bandit up in my country.
It is now.
Huh?
What? The Merle's the bandits up there?
Yeah, that's one of the things.
But these Merles are from Virginia, I had you know.
And
all Virginia think they're blue blood. Mm-hmm. Like Charlestonians.
Now, Lois, I don't know whether you're going to eat bread or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of
them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they... Well, did Jim Merle move from up there?
Not that I know of.
His family did. His parents came from Virginia.
Uh-huh. And they lived in McIntosh.
Oh, they did. Mm-hmm. Up until when?
Oh, I don't know when they moved away. It's been a long time that since they moved away. They moved from there to Orlando.
Oh, moved away.
Moved away to Orlando. And then we lost kind of track of all of them. The next thing we knew, James, I think he was a traveling man. He came back up in here, and he met May Hurl. He didn't know her back in those days. I suspect he's a good deal older than May.
Yeah.
He came back up here, and he met May Hurl in Merida. And they lived in Micanopy. But after that time, I think he had a pretty successful career up until that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then I think his health began to fail, and I think everything kind of been going to bad.
After he married May Hurl?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that right? Well, now, the Hurlongs, is that the granddaddy of all the Hurlongs over there at Micanopy?
Is this May Hurlong belong to the family that lived in the big house with the big columns?
Is that the same family as the congressman?
They're the same family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The old man who died recently, he's the pappy of all of them?
Mm-hmm. He had a stiff neck. Did you ever know him? He had a stiff neck, Mr. Hurlong. Yeah.
Or did he?
The one of them. They had a large family. They had three boys and three girls. And I thought all the girls knew him.
Oh, you did?
Inez, the oldest one. She married and moved to Miami. There were four girls. Inez. And May. And Dot. And Pink. She's named for her mother. Her mother was Natalie, but they always called her Pinky. Pink.
Oh.
I knew them all. I knew them all well.
Well, Lois, what? Well, now they were the top people in those days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that Mrs. Hurlong was the cutest thing. She was a Simonton. She was Natalie Simonton. That's also an old family name around here.
Jack Simonton's sister?
I don't know about that. But I know she was Natalie Simonton. And she was cute. She was a character. They had that great big house, and they were very hospitable. And she was perfectly honest. Perfectly honest and frank.
Oh, really?
And she had, this girl only had some people stop by one time, they on some business. And he invited them to stay for dinner. And she didn't say anything. So they didn't say. And when they left, he said, "Why didn't you back me up on the invitation?" "Because I didn't want to. No, I need to be two-faced. I didn't want to, and I didn't say so." Yes, that was Natalie.
Yeah. And that's the way she did.
Uh-huh. And one of those girls then invited me to come and spend the night with her one time. And so I thought that was something. So I went and said, And came supper time, and there just wasn't hardly any supper. And Miss Hurlong wasn't involved with it. She wasn't involved. And that's the first time this girl had company.
Oh.
And so went to the table, and the meal was just kind of a flop. And she said, "Well, now, to Miss Dixon, I'm sorry you getting in all this, but," she said, "you know, I have all the children, and the house is theirs, and they can have all the company they want to have, but it's their company. It's not my company. It's their company. And we have a cook in the kitchen, but they've got to plan the meals, and they've got to see their things. So I can't do it for all six of them." And this is Doc's first time. And she had to learn on you, but...
Isn't that marvelous?
Mm-hmm.
Well, was it...
That was Natalie Hurlong.
Well, let me tell you, Lord. That's the first place I've ever seen in my life where you could look through the house,
mm-hmm.
and you got those big plate glass doors and windows, mm-hmm. and they look like plate glass.
Lois, just use your fingers on it.
They never had any. They never had a screen door. And that's the reason why that door was always closed, because there's no screen there.
Yeah.
It's a lovely house inside.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm. I was there a lot.
What did it look like inside?
Well, they had lovely old furniture in those days. I thought they'd done it in the house with the shovel. And they had a great big kitchen. They had a fireplace in the kitchen. And those days they cooked on a wood stove, I think. That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And They buy milk the next time. I spent the night, and we were going to Tallahassee to see one of the girls graduate. One of them, one of my pupils, and she wanted me to come and see her graduate in Tallahassee. And so it was quite a trip to Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, no expressways or anything, so we had to get up early, and we ate breakfast in the kitchen. And Mr. Hurlong was often slow getting through with his breakfast, and one drinking his coffee. And she said, "Why don't you drink your coffee? Let's get going." She says, "It's too hot. It's too hot." She said, "Well, I thought you like your coffee hot." But she said, "I can't drink it when it gets down the boil." It's above boil. I can't drink it. We nearly missed the graduation.
Where was that, over in their house?
Oh, goodness, it's so good to laugh.
He took me out one day and showed me a piece of land.
You know him too, do you?
Yeah, but I don't remember a stiff neck.
This man don't have a stiff neck. A large abdomen, a large man. Broad. Not like Jim Camp, not like that, but he was broad, and he did have he was quite large around the waist, and had a stiff neck.
Well, was his stiff neck noticeable?
Well, I don't know. Maybe someone who didn't know him so well, why they might not have
missed
it, but all the old time, they've known for a long time, knew that he had a stiff neck.
I never heard anyone mention it.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny, isn't it?
And Natalie died, and he remarried.
Yeah. Well, it's that later wife that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And she died.
She's from South Carolina.
Yeah.
I never knew her. But Flo and Mark, they never miss a funeral.
No.
They go, ah.
Huh?
But Miss Flo and Mark never go to a funeral.
Oh,
I never miss a funeral. And they went to Mr. Hurlong, and I was sorry. I don't read the Gainesville paper. I get the O'Connell paper. I didn't know about it, else I would love to have gone to Mr. Hurlong's funeral. I would have gone if I had known it. I loved seeing all the children, because I knew them all, boys too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, now he was right. Was his wife akin to him?
Well, she might have been his first wife. The first wife?
No, the second.
I don't know about that.
Because I heard him or somebody talking about up in South Carolina where they went. And they went to the old places that they had that for a long time. And, Lois, I can't remember. I haven't thought about it since then.
In just a minute.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Fresh pears.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was, in keeping the estates, you see, in the family. Now, he was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We walked off, I tell you what, it wasn't very far off. I walked through some timber over there on that back road that goes from Lincoln Open by the old Baptist church there in the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and goes over towards Simonton.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little land along there. I forget who lives there. And then he had some property, and this was beautiful, that beautiful old hammock land. Over there, adjoining Billy Richardson, over there where Florence lived.
Mm-hmm.
Except it was way across the valley and up the hills and back over there. It had a lot of big timber on it. A lot of timber had been taken out, but it still had a lot of big timber in it. And he seemed, you know, you just regretted that a man wasn't eternal.
Mm-hmm.
He just took such pleasure over it. Just such pleasure. Just looking at it and owning it, you know, you just felt, well, sir, this man has found what he's looking for.
Yeah.
And he didn't have anyone to carry on that estate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't anymore, do they?
Mm-mm.
Nobody does. Mm-mm.
Do you ever know Lex Green?
Uh-uh.
Huh? You know who Lex Green is?
Uh-uh.
Well, he was a very popular politician out here for a long time. He was from Stark.
No.
He's tall, very good looking man. And he wore a big tie, kind of a bow tie, you know. It had long ends, kind of a Buster Brown tie.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was the eligible bachelor in the state, and was well known, was well liked, and everything. But now this Dr. Hurlong, when she graduated and everything, she was teaching school over in Hawthorne, and she was a senior class sponsor. Don't senior class you have a sponsor on the faculty or something? And so they asked Lex Green to give their commencement address, senior class volunteer. So he came, and among the services, it was planned that this class sponsor should present him with something. I guess a gift. And so she did. Dot did. She was short. Her mother was short. Mr. Hurlong was a big man, but Natalie was short, and the girls were all short. And so when Lex Green tall, he looked out to see this this girl, and she presented him with this present, and he beheld that she was lovely, and he proceeded to fall in love with her.
Oh.
And he quoted her like one thing, and everybody was just so up in the air. I thought that we didn't think he could do better than Dot Hurlong. She was so attractive too. But Dot didn't like him. I don't know why.
Yeah.
She didn't like him at all. So that course didn't matter anything. But we thought it was right interesting. We liked it. We had budded and everything. It pretty soon faded and passed away.
Well,
but and Lex married somebody else in time. And so did Dot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Dot was younger than the girl who married Jim Merle.
Well, the girls, you see, I knew May. I talked to her, but I don't really know her, you see. And
May had at least personality now.
Yeah.
And she was smart, and she was lovely, sweet. But she didn't have the personality the rest of them had.
Would you say Mr. Hurlong had personality?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his first wife, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was cute. She had six children. Yes, they were all grown. She looked younger than them.
She did.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I have to eat this chicken very carefully.
Why, please?
Good, I could. Same thing happened, the birth could happen to me.
Oh, you just took your time.
I have my first piece of pivot teeth, too.
We won't go around selling it on you.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one way to eat chicken, hot or cold, and that's to pick it up.
You didn't know the Hurlongs?
Well, now, when you talk about May, that's not your neighbor, is it? No, I don't know any. I don't know Nick.
She taught Nick no school long time.
No, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. She was very quiet. Very quiet.
And the others had more personality.
Mm-hmm. Didn't any of them have the vibration that the mother had? Unless it was Pink, the baby one, who was named for her. I think she was more like her mother.
Yeah.
But the others were quiet, especially me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did they get that way?
I don't know. Mr. Hurlong was very talkative and outgoing.
Yeah.
But just can't get over the dentist's office down there in Ocala.
Just like a showplace.
Just like a showplace.
It was really out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
More senses than one.
Right there in town, but out in the woods. It's lovely. And I told the girl, I said, I don't say you ever want to go home at night. I'm saying you spend the night out here. It's so pretty.
Mostly glass.
Mm-hmm. Mostly glass. And inside is shingles.
Shingles.
Cypress shingles. Spot wood, spot walls, all cypress shingles.
He's a dentist and his wife is the horticulturist.
His wife was Ann Wallace. And the Wallace is a good family name down in Wisconsin. I think they had money. Somebody had money. And she was a horticulturist.
Oh.
So we attribute all the planting and everything around there to her. But I wanted to find, I said, well, I wanted to know who designed the house. Who was the
mm-hmm.
architect?
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't get over it. I never dreamed such a place like this in Ocala.
What did Philip say about it?
Well, of course, she had been there before. He's her dentist.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was her dentist when he had an office uptown.
Oh.
And this, I said, how long have you been out here? He said, just about 3 years. Well, I believe I'll change dentists. I'll have to come out here.
Well, as badly as I hate to go to the dentist's office, it's a pretty place would
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm. But now, he didn't have many patients this morning.
You see that handsome fella? Look at that.
Yes, uh-huh. You've got him stalled. You know, he knows when to come there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And a pretty little red head.
Now, he's an immature. He's a young one.
Mm-hmm.
He's just been here, you see. Oh, I'm at 3 or 4 months at all. So you expect him to know as much as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He's just
mm-hmm.
been here a little while.
No, I enjoyed it this morning and everything. I don't know why.
Now, who is
my time. So that is, that's Catherine Merle. That's the Merle girl.
That's Catherine,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And the man is our coach.
Now, Catherine, she's right personable too. But she's quieter than her mother.
No, she wasn't a Hurlong. She wasn't a Hurlong.
Catherine Merle.
Merle's sister.
Yeah, yeah.
And our coach was a good looking man. His name was Harry Bennett. And he married Ida Hester. He married
over here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he married Mrs.
Yeah.
Vidal's
oh,
yeah.
younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that we've ever heard of her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think when girls marry, they ought to consider the future that some will be heard of them later?
Yeah.
And all like that.
Not just vanish out into outer space.
No.
Well, there's something funny I know about Ida, this Ida, who married the Bennett. She has had to have a cataract operation. And her nephew did it. One of the Vidal boys is a eye specialist, it seems. I think in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
One of the Vidal boys. And so Ida came from Washington, where they live, the Bennett's live, down to Atlanta for this nephew to do this operation. And it was the first time, it's been several years ago, first time we had ever heard of them doing both eyes at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Used to, they didn't do that, but seem to do it now. But that was at the beginning of that kind of surgery. And so she did it. And then she came on down here and she visited Mrs. Vidal. And they came down, their parents are buried in McIntyre Cemetery. and had a meal, and I went to the cemetery. And these two sisters came up. And so we all went over and visited, because we all knew each other, of course. And then Ida was telling about her marvelous surgery that she'd had. And Eva's son had done it. Ms. Vidal's name Eva. Eva's son had done it. And Eva said, she ever comes into my help. I'm not going to have that boy. I've read both my eyes at the same time. Her son. Not gonna
is
have
Eva the one who's witty and talks all the time?
Yeah. Yes, sir. She's the one.
Well, now, I saw her the first year or so I was down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the connection was.
Good looking woman. Used to be.
Well, she's elderly then.
Hmm?
She's elderly when I knew her, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
That same one.
That's not the same. She's
elderly. Well, I didn't know she looked, but she was down here and she didn't want to be. She wanted to be up in the mountains.
Yeah.
She spent the winter, summer in the mountains up there.
Oh, no, that's her older sister. That's Ms. Vidal's older sister, Lemmy.
Oh, Crawford. That's Lemmy, yeah.
Lemmy Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, Lemmy Crawford is older than me. She is older.
That's right.
And she died.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, Lemmy died.
Oh, she was a... She was
she was a talker.
Oh, she was a talker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She...
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah.
There's oodles of those.
And she was over there, and I don't know, through compulsion or something, but she didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
She was holding down the fort, or down the house, or something.
That's why I'm going back up to Waynesville.
She wanted to go up to Waynesville.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And in my mind, I can picture some little country resort where she would be very much at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you a funny story about Lemmy, too. At least I think it's funny. She lived when she was first married in Jackson, Mississippi. And I had some friends who lived in Jackson.
Yeah.
This is Miss John Mason. And they came down here. They were going on a little trip down the state, and they stopped to see me going down and stopped on the way back. So I told them, the only other one person I knew in Jackson, Mississippi had ever known was this Lemmy Crawford. And so I, just to make conversation, I said that a McIntosh girl, or an Evanston girl in this area, lived over there. And so they didn't look her up. They thought I knew her that well. I didn't know Lemmy that well. I knew her pleasantly, but I didn't look her up. And I didn't think about him doing it, but they did. Looked her up. And Mr. Mason was funny. Ms. Mason was very matter of fact. And they'd both write my letters, and I'll always read Mr. Mason's first, because I knew you're going to have fun in it.
Yeah.
But she just wrote about the state of everybody's health and the weather.
Yeah.
But Mr. Mason always had some fun to say. So in this letter, I read his first. He said they'd been to see my friend, and that they found to be quite a talker. And said, we talked all the time we were there. She followed us out of the car. She thought we drove off. And so far as we know, she's still talking. That's what Mr. Mason wrote about.
Well, she was a pretty good egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could hear talk some. Mm. I kind of forget, you know, how people. Mm. I always talk to her one time.
And I bet you can say the same thing about one Lord Sixer. I don't talk this way. I don't want anybody else put up with it.
You see, I like people that talk. The people that get on my nerves are the ones that just stand on ceremony. Mm. Oh, that just worries me. I see why I stay at home is because I'm stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to get up and walk around. Mm-hmm. I don't mean it's not a matter of speaking that I'm stiff.
Yeah.
I'm stiff.
Yeah. I've been back.
Period.
I've been backing on his pants, on those old pants. Mm-hmm. He can't find any breeches that are soft enough for him. And I haven't quite finished patching them. Oh, me. It's just so much fun to laugh. Oh, goodness.
And you know, I can't have fun with everybody.
Well, I think it takes certain kind of people. Yes.
Now, this Ms. Angus, just the best friend I ever had, in many ways. But she and I never had the fun.
Oh, really?
But now my other friend in Jacksonville, Rose Simmons, whom I haven't known too long, she was a friend of my cousin, Martha Culpepper, who died. And we got to be friends through in that way. Now, Rose and I, we just laugh, we just almost get down the floor.
Is that right?
just about nothing.
Uh-huh.
But I can have that fun with Ned.
Uh-huh. That's different.
Mm-hmm. And my sister and I have fun.
My sister and I have fun too. We sort of see things a great deal alike in some things.
I'll be with this time next Monday.
I still have my breakfast coffee.
That's his breakfast coffee.
That is that. Mm-hmm.
I can't drink it hot either. Past boiling. That's cute. Hey, Daddy used to have leather lips.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. Uh-huh. He didn't want it to cool. He'd take it.
That's right. He'd take it right, just right off.
Mm-hmm.
That boiling.
No, I would tell him Merle Phillips this morning, going to Alcala, to make her feel good about her hurting. I nearly lost one of these triple teeth when I was visiting in Texas. First time I'd ever visited out there, and didn't know these people very well. We'd been corresponding all the years. They finally said, "What's going to take you to get out here?" And then Gray's invitation, no. Thank you so much. They were sent to my mother indirectly, so finally. Why, I'm made up my mind, I was going to go.
We'll stick that thing up and chew on it.
Mm-hmm. So, I was so excited, and I thought about all the things I could say when I got there, you know, the Memphis thing. When we began to land, they said, land in the Dallas, I thought, what am I going to say to that woman? I forgot everything I was going to say. But anyway, we met, and we had a good time, and we had fun, and all her friends wanted to entertain us. This and saw nobody seemed to know much about. Oh, we just fabulous fall it is, and I thought they might want me to play, so I practiced up a little bit, and I used to do musical readings that everybody always enjoyed.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just play. I have one, two pieces that I polished up, and then I'll branch off on some of the foolishness. So went to a place. In Talis, and that happened just like I loved it. So I played, and I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. If you want me to do another number for you, I'll do one of these musical readings I used to do down home that people always said. I quit doing them down there because I just ran them in the ground. But I'll do one out here for you." And by that time, my tongue felt that this was loose. Ooh, I started to read, and I didn't know what to say. I thought, if I go on, it's going to come out. But that time, it wasn't funny if I was in...